right.
This is LaVarne.
Go ahead.
The shared expenses that we budget are based on the fact that we have those necessities to pay. It's not, you know, it's just your basic, like I said, it's like Democracy Now. If you pull up the national office, you'll see those line items. Democracy Now, FSRN, insurance, board fees, national board meeting, and I'd like to make a motion or to discuss that in closed session also. Those are the expenses. We're not, you know, there's nothing else. There's nothing added. The salaries, like I say, are taken care of with the fundraising and the revenue coming into the national office. And plus, we had a person leave that we did not replace this year. I mean, this quarter, in fact. So, again, what our policy said is that, and what you said is exactly true. We're expecting, you guys are expecting good things with the next fundraiser, with Gary Noel and the way you have tailored, and I think they are trying to reduce, like our Paul was looking at the number of days, so they're trying to reduce the number of hours that you're fundraising during this next drive. Just have it concentrated. I think, is it like 12 to 6 or something like that? So that's what they're trying to do, trying to cut down the number of hours. But on the other hand, is that these shared expenses that keep WBI going, that we budget here in the national office and pay here in the national office, it has to be paid. So, you know, if you have to, I think the outstanding thing also, or the unknown, is the fulfillment rate, not just on the fundraising. And I know Bertolt has done a lot, but he could not put in his budget a greater fulfillment rate than what he could expect to improve it. Right, you know, based on the most recent results. But that's another opportunity. Excuse me, for the budget, and I think I'll ask Bertolt to include that. An opportunity based on the fulfillment rate. And the other thing is that you have to really look at. It's like PFW. If you talk to Bruce in terms of what they did to try to get this budget under control, they actually went in and reduced salaries by 50%, you know, maintaining benefits, maintaining a pension and everything. But in on the I think it's, is it 8 or down to 5 paid staff. That's what they've done. So so our Paul, you know, you and Bertolt and Alex, you guys might have to look at reducing the number of hours on the staff. I mean, It's at that point. It's really at that point now for all of us.
Well, it's been at that point for a couple of years for BAI because, remember, we had layoffs and hours cuts in 2005 that are still in effect. And
right.
Then in 2008, we did it again. And in 2008, we see what happened when we cut down so much because we were operating in a skeleton crew and we started cutting the skeletons. And so we ended up with invoices not going out. We ended up with other problems.
I think in that case it was facetiously done, and it was done to hurt you versus to help you.
Right.
And that in this instance, we would not allow that to be done. The person who would do it, Bertolt, would make sure that that would not be done.
All right. Well, without characterizing anything, let me just say that We're still in skeleton crew land here at BAI, and a certain amount of work has to be done, and a certain amount of work that has to be paid for has to be done, and, you know, we are really skirting along the bare minimum of that right now. I could also say that if I know a number of paid staff, and their hours have been cut since for 5.5 years now, and any more cuts on them, and they're going to have to leave because they can't live on less than they're getting now. They can barely live on what they're getting now because they've been cut so much. You would end up with, you know, yeah, you wouldn't have to pay that person, but then you're going to have nobody covering certain aspects of things that must be covered by a radio station. So it isn't like we can, you know, slash and burn our way to this. We just can't cut anymore. There aren't. BAI is not flabby in terms of staff, so I don't see any way to cut it. in terms of fulfillment rate, yes, I agree. If BAI could get an extra 5% on our fulfillment rate, that would be wonderful. That would help a lot of things. But I've been seeing exactly that projection for 6 years. You know, people saying, well, we'll just raise the fulfillment rate to this, and when we raise it 5 or 10%, everything will be rosy. And nobody's raised it that much. At this point, we have, it's a 73.9, I think, percent fulfillment rate projected. And we think that's conservative. That is realistic. It's an improvement. And, you know, if we were to say, I mean, we could say, yeah, we're going to have an 85% fulfillment rate. You know, we could say that, but I don't see it happening. And again, I think it's, I understand that Pacifica has the bills and they have to be paid, and we are up against it. But the thing is, Pacifica, all of us need to deal with this realistically, I think. We need to look at the fact that you do have the bills that need to be paid, but you need to understand whether or not you're going to be able to pay them. Because if you're looking at BAI to be able to pay significant central services to pay these things, and it's not there, you should know about that ahead of time and plan for, you know, extra mail drops or something, or at least know that, you know, you're in a crunch and you're not going to get a bunch of money coming out of a certain direction. And so that's my whole thing. I'm not saying central services are evil. I fully understand central services. It's just that BAI isn't going to be able to kick in all that much, and all of us need to be realistic about that and hope that we can, in fact, turn things around and make it better, you know, towards the end of the fiscal year. Anyway, that's what I have to say. Anybody else want to say anything on that?
Well, you know, just I mean, I'll stop just after this point, though, but the point is that there is no money to run this foundation unless the expenses are in line with revenue. So we can talk about, and I know it's going to take a while, we cannot turn it around with this budget or next month. But you know, like I said, a person left the national office where we had about 6 people in the finance group. There are 3 now. And the payroll person left. We didn't replace her. Although she was 50%. That we cannot operate unless the expenses are in line with revenue. That's just a fact. You know, that's a fact. So, you know, we can explain about what we've done before, but, you know, no one's going to have a job unless we are able to cut those expenses to be in line with the revenue.
So, LaVarne, are you saying that no more expenses can come out of national? Expense cutting?
I'm sorry?
Are you saying that no more expense cutting can come out of national?
Yeah, I guess I am saying that.
Can I say something? It's Bruce again.
Go ahead, Bruce.
And Arpa, I agree with you completely about making realistic projections. That's what we did here at WFW. That's what we wanted to do, too. And you're absolutely right. We wanted to get away from the fantasy budgets. So you're right in doing that. I don't have a problem with that. But I guess where I'm having a little bit of a problem understanding is that you have your antenna on top of the Empire State Building, and you have Manhattan and all the boroughs and I assume New Jersey and maybe, you know, up into Connecticut or wherever. I mean, you're saying you don't want to cut back more, or you can't, because you want to maintain services for the station and for the listeners. But it seems like you're not bringing in the listener support that you should be bringing in to be able to do that. And what I'm not hearing is something to say specifically that the station is going to be making a more energetic attempt to get the revenue, the listener support revenue, up to where it ought to be to justify this, you know, where the station. I mean, I'm not getting, don't get me wrong, I'm talking about WBAI not being there. It's just that I don't understand why your listeners aren't coming, stepping up to support the station. And
one reason is that we've had like 8 years of just basically, or 7 years. The last year was a little different, I think, just trying to get rid of the listener, just getting rid of the listeners, cutting out the, and, you know, basically damning the listener, you know, saying really nasty, ugly, racist things about the listeners on the air. So there was a conscious effort to drive away the listeners. So I know we're in that they are in a process of trying to bring those listeners back. So that's what you had. You had 8 years of driving the listeners away, saying racist things about them, about various ethnic groups on the air, and that's why the listeners are down. So I know it can't, like I said, I know it can't be fixed overnight, but that's why they, that's one of the reasons why. You know, like, you're absolutely right. And in the past, they did have those listeners. But until they build those, bring those listeners back, this is what they're faced with. But what you're faced with still is that your revenue cannot exceed your expenses. And when we go back to the national office, like I said, the national office expenses are the shared expenses. The salary part is covered by the revenue that's generated in the national office. The shared expenses are the things that we have to cover. That's what's not been covered, are the station expenses, the shared station expenses, like Democracy Now!
Okay, Bruce, let me say, okay, in terms of getting more energetic listener support, the problem is the listeners sort of are supporting. However, the bigger problem is what listeners? We hardly have listeners. I'm looking at our CPB report, and, we've got a warning letter from the CPB saying that not only haven't we raised enough money, but the amount of listenership is too low.
Yeah.
And if we don't get that up, our CPB stuff is going to start getting messed with. The problem is, we don't have enough listeners. I mean, we simply don't have enough listeners. And what does that mean? Well, that means the air is a problem. Our programming is not getting enough people to listen to us to sustain the station. It comes down to that. You may have heard that there have been some changes made. And while I have problems with some of that, still the fact remains that something needs to be done. And we're looking at, let me give you a fast thing. One of the things that's happened now and again is people have walked into BAI and people who understand radio are just thunderstruck when they walk in. And the reason they're thunderstruck is because as you walk in, we have a grid posted on a wall. It's like 7 or 8 feet tall, and it's about 6 feet or more wide. And it's the grid, and it's under plastic. The plastic is fixed to it with rivets. And people are saying, how can you possibly have something so rigid that you put it up like that? And that is a part of the problem. Our programming is not attracting enough listeners. And while there's a lot of brouhaha over this at BAI right now, And I think the changes were made in a, well, I have problems with the way the changes were made. And not just because I'm one of the people changed in it. But the thing is, we have not had a lot of change in the grid over time. And we have been seeing the listener support ebb over years and years. And, and now what's happening is, I guess, management is finally deciding we need to get the grid out from underneath that plastic and do something with it, and we'll see how that works. But the bottom line answer to your question is we don't have enough listeners to give us enough more money, and unless we do, yeah, it's going to be a problem. So I think that answers the question. Well, we just
It does. But I guess, and I see, and I think that's what we're sort of wrestling with here, is that WBAI needs some special consideration because of the situation you're in, especially, you know, from what you're saying, from what LeVar is saying about the listenership. But at the same time, there has to be part of the puzzle has to be some, some real, I'm not putting this on you, but some real commitment, like you're saying, of making the changes that need to be made so that the investment in keeping WBAI alive is going to be repaid by seeing it restore itself to to where it should be. I mean, if it makes sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
In other words, living with this deficit means something if we know we're going in the right direction, which I would be all for. But if it's just going to stay the same, then, like you said, this doesn't look good.
Oh, it can't stay the same. If it stays the same, everything goes away. WBAI will bankrupt all of Pacifica if it stays.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let me say something before I have to leave. I don't have a real problem with the financial problem that we find ourselves in. I see that as the universe's way to get us to take care of business. We can invent our way out of this problem. And one of the first things we're going to be doing is we're going to stop doing things like this. I've heard people say that our programming is very good when Amy comes on for and then about half an hour, but after a while, then the listeners go away. That tells me that we're not building on Amy's presence. We're supposed to be developing the foot in the door that Amy brings us. So we have to stop walking away from our money and walking away from our treasure. Two, I started out about a year ago, I talked about the fiscal year accounting system, which is an anachronism. And we're going to be strangling with that anachronism, just like Congress and everybody else is. That makes no sense. What we have to do is to get to, I called for a research group at one of our meetings either 3 months ago or 6 months ago, where we could just see what the science is telling us and work that way. The idea of us being a radio station similar to the way it was 10 years ago, similar to the Ed Murrow and all that, that's ridiculous. I said to one of our program guys the other day, I said that if Fidel Castro was the head of Pacifica, this would be the most well-organized country in the planet. And I say the same thing, that if we use Pacifica as a way to organize our listeners, everybody will want to turn us on.
Okay. I think we should wrap this part up one way or another here. So, I don't know, I'm thinking maybe I should make a motion to pass the BAI budget contingent upon whatever comes out of the executive session, and we can vote that up or down just so we can move past this particular thing. I think we've gone over it. So why don't I do that? I'm going to make a motion, which I'm going to type and think up and speak as I do it. That we pass the WBAI draft budget couldn't type contingent with only one hand, I'm sorry. Contingent on any motions that come out of executive session. Okay. Oh boy. All right. So I'm making a motion that we pass the WBAI draft budget contingent on any motions pop up, any motions that come out of the executive session. So there is that. And anybody want to talk about that or whatever?
Well, this is Bruce again. And maybe you don't need to put it in the motion, but could we, since we're going to be, if we do this, if we approve the WBAI budget as it is right now, with the deficit and the contingency plan and so forth, and that's going to be going on to the PNB, perhaps we should, it should go, any approval should go with some kind of additional extra report or explanation, kind of summing up our discussion to some extent, so that the PMB understands, you know, where what we were talking about and thinking about when we approved this budget. They should understand that we have, you know, we're not, you know, we have reservations and we're not. It's not like we're approving the deficit. We really wrestled with this.
Well, Alex is on the PNB, so Alex, you would be able to bring that to the PNB. I think you would be the one.
Sure, and it looks like we're having a meeting on the 17th. So that would be the earliest we could get to it.
Okay.
This is Kim.
Kim, go ahead.
I'm new, obviously, but nevertheless, I could not vote for this. I could not vote to pass a budget with a giant deficit. I'd like to see more plans on programming changes and marketing, some idea of marketing. If you have new programs, you need to let people know that things are changing. For just one idea out there.
We have discussed a lot of the changes we're contemplating and have already carried out. There's been a very big change in programming already, and more to come.
Has there been any marketing behind it? Even a Facebook page, anything?
Well, this is true. We definitely have a problem in that area.
Well,
I can't pass
a budget without a plan for this kind of stuff, without a plan for something.
It's a point well taken.
Okay. Anybody else?
Alex. If enough people here are reluctant about this budget, maybe we could postpone the vote on the budget until the next meeting.
Is that a motion?
I don't want to push this if there's a lot of doubt about it.
I mean, I just want to we have other things to do, and I just want to move this along, and this is the way right here, and you can make a motion to postpone, or we can vote on it, and it can go up or down. I'm just trying to move it along because it's 10:23.
Okay. Well, I think in the balance, I think we should just vote on it, and with the understanding that there are a lot of contingencies in this budget, and some of the members here want further explanations, which is certainly their right.
Can I ask one more question? Number one, when do you expect to get a general manager, and do you think that'll make a difference? And two, LaVarn, do you have any ideas of what they can do? Are there any suggestions from you that you know, we can put into the mix here?
I've talked with Bertol about a number of things, and we've talked about this in depth and a lot. So, but right now, what they want to do is go ahead is to vote, And I think that what we're looking at again is they have the things I mentioned, they have a drive coming up, but he can show it as an opportunity now that he has Gary Noel back on. As Alex and R. Paul said, they've done program changes, and they have been one of the reasons for making the program changes now is exactly what either Alex, I think Alex said about the R. Paul, the letter from the CPB stating that, you know, this is a warning letter. The next letter, they will actually affect a 25% drop. And the main thing is the audience, if it has not increased up to the point that they want it at. So we still have some information we can get to them to try to, like, mitigate some of that reduction.
Right.
And the other thing is there's been the national programming change, which is bringing on Al Jazeera English.
Oh, right.
You know, we think that it will increase audience. So that was in addition to, like, fulfilling the mission. So there are a lot of positive things going on, and it's just showing those things as an opportunity to this plan. But, you know, how to actually determine the amount of that, we don't know. But the other thing is, like I said, and I'll say it again, the cuts that were made 2 years ago were made maliciously to hurt the station. That WPFW have made the staff has made a decision to actually cut their salaries for a period of time, until you're actually able to pay some of the bills and to stabilize again. So hopefully they will go back. You know, hopefully, I don't know, Bruce, within 6 months or so. But they have made the decision to cut their salaries, and they have a very small staff. So, you know, if you want to keep the ship afloat, you know, and I'll get to myself again after we do this, after I say this, you know, you might want to think about, for a period of time, you know, 3 months or something, you know, cut one day or something. You'd have to talk to the union, like Robert West is doing at PFW, have to negotiate with the union. But for a certain period of time, you know, project how much that's going to save. It's going to save $50,000 or so. You might want to do that in order to save the station. And so to go back to the national office, as Arlene and I said, the reason I have a cold is that all last week I was in, not almost all, the last 2 weeks, I was in at about 5:45 a.m. And, of course, I don't leave until 10. We've had these nightly meetings. So although our little salaries, if you look at the hourly rate, it's very low. And then again, I don't know, Kim, since you weren't on there, last year I actually worked as the CFO and as the interim general manager at BAI. That's why their salaries increased this year, because they have to put in the salary for a general manager to pay that. So you know, just putting it back on myself, and, you know, what I'm doing in terms of contributing to this effort, in addition to being on this phone call and having a bad cold and been up since 5 o'clock this morning listening to KPFA with the Al Jazeera broadcast. So, you know, I know we're all out there. I know Bertold, who's been the interim general manager and is a candidate. I guess the decision will be announced shortly for the general manager. I know he works 24/7 because we're talking on the phone all during the weekend. So, but on the staff side, I'm serious that maybe they should get together just like Robert West and the staff did at PFW and say, okay, we can contribute maybe $50,000 by over a three-month period or so, you know, contributing a day or something, because the expenses have to be met. You know, we're going to have to pay Democracy Now. We have to pay that insurance. It's like $10,000 payment a month. And PFW and BAI also has an opportunity with the phone system. And John Almella, who I would like to be on the close call because he needs to talk about Empire State contract, that with the phone system, those costs, once they implement the new phone system and cut out the Verizon part of it, your phone costs will go down tremendously. So, you know, there's some opportunity in there, and I'll just ask Bertol, the phone system, Gary Noel, you know, new listeners, and that there's probably, we can put some numbers on that as an opportunity. And the other part is the hard part that, you know, the staff will have to say, maybe, you know, we can cost it out, maybe it will save $50,000 for over a period of time, over a three-month or six-month period.
LaVarne, let me ask you something else. Since you said that the cuts in 2007 were done maliciously,
yes.
Is there some way to go over with, you know, the New York people right now and kind of balance whatever happened then, like make that right?
You mean in terms of the fact that they were cut maliciously then, what we can do now?
Yeah, to cut it unmaliciously.
You have different people in there now who I believe want the station to survive. The people who cut those people 2 years ago, in fact, we are fighting this effort at KPFA with one of the people who was involved in cutting those people at BAI. We have the person on tape saying this, that the people had to be cut, you know, and the union would object to it. But they don't want the cuts done at KPFA. So, yeah, those cuts were done maliciously. They cut out the premiums person. They cut out the person who does the database. See, that doesn't make any sense. So the cuts now will be made if they were to be. I mean, but basically, you know, the union, we kind of like decide among themselves that this is what we need to do. You know, Bertolt explained this is what we need to do in order to get through this period, which is really difficult right now for BAI.
Well, were the premium person and the database person reinstated?
The workload was just shared, and it was actually shared when I was there. Bertolt came in and helped do it, and the business manager was doing part of it, and we had a person in doing some. So the work is just basically reshifted.
We have volunteers doing some of this, a lot of this stuff now.
I'm sorry?
We have volunteers doing a lot of the premium delivery work right now.
That is so good. That's really great.
And let me point out, one of the problems at BAI for the past bit of a while here, and part of the reason why our fulfillment rate is, a problem, is there were somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 premiums that simply didn't get sent out when there was somebody working there. I won't go into the entire... history
exactly.
of what happened with the premium director job and somebody else, but the person, someone was replaced, and the replacement didn't send out the premiums for something on the order of a year or so, and so 5,000 or 6,000 premiums didn't go out. This does not make our listeners feel good, and so, you know, people are still calling up and saying, where the hell is my damn premium from 2 years ago?
Exactly.
So this was a problem that's being slowly dealt with, and that's, again, the past is seriously impacting the present, and that's part of why the turnaround is so difficult. In any case, does anybody else have anything more to say? I'd like to go on this and resolve this one way or another and move on to another issue. So is there anything more anybody needs on this, or does anybody want to? We can either have a motion to postpone it, or we can go to a vote. So if I don't hear a motion to postpone, we can go to a vote.
Well,
go ahead.
After hearing what, and I think LaVarne made some good points, you know, I will make a motion to postpone, just to ask the WBAI people to go back and take another look to see where, if possible, they can find a way to make some more cuts, and that's done. And I say that with understanding completely and being totally sympathetic with your position of wanting to get this approved and move on. I think I understand that completely, but it does sound like another look needs to be taken before we approve a budget that has a deficit in.
All right, I have my roll call vote form up here, and I have to move a name or two around, and this is not going to be in proper alphabetical order, but I'll have to fix it up later. All right, is there any objection to going to a vote on the motion to postpone? Okay, so I have to put in stuff here so I'll remember what is when we do the minutes that I'm doing that. Okay, so there's a motion. The motion that is on here is Wow, we've talked a lot since I made the motion. The motion is to pass the WBAI draft budget contingent on any motions that come out of the executive session. And the motion on the floor right now is to postpone that motion. And I gather this is a postpone. That means postpone indefinitely. Okay. On the motion to postpone, Alonzo Brown?
Is there any objection, can you ask?
I object.
Yeah, there's an objection. Okay, so the motion is to postpone. Alonzo Brown? Kim Kaufman?
I would vote to postpone. Is that what the vote is now?
Yes. So
okay, I vote to postpone. Not indefinitely, but to come back with a better plan.
We're voting. We're voting. In the voting, we don't. Debate is over, I think.
Well, okay. but somebody added indefinitely, and I.
That's what this means. It's a simple. There are two motions to postpone, two types. One is to postpone, and that means postpone indefinitely. And the other is to postpone to the next meeting. Now, you know, so there's, and I asked, and nobody said to next meeting, so the motion is to postpone.
Oh, it wasn't clear. It's to the next meeting.
It doesn't mean it doesn't come up to the next meeting.
Yes.
Yes, I mean, okay, since we haven't done much of a vote here, let me say the motion as was made is to postpone, and that just means to postpone. There's nothing stopping it from coming up again. It has to come up at the next meeting.
Yeah.
So
I think you could say that was my intent.
Yes.
In the motion to postpone
to
the next meeting.
So do you want to make it postponed to next meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
That was my intent.
Okay, then I vote yes, I want to postpone to the next meeting.
All right. Alberto Luera. R. Paul Martin, no. Simon Pius, Summer Reese, Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes, to postpone.
Alex Steinberg.
No.
He's not here anymore. LaVarne Williams.
Yes.
Bruce Wolf.
Yes.
Okay, so is there anybody I didn't call who's here? 1, 2, 3, 4... Pardon me, was that? Oh, pardon me as I have a coughing fit. 4 yes, 2 no. So the motion to postpone to the next meeting passes, and there's that. Okay, the next item we have on our agenda is the WPFW budget. And let's go to that.
Okay. I don't know if there's anything additional that LaVarne can add, but I spoke with Berthold last night, and keep in mind, the problem with our budget was the issue of the template. And we have the main budget, the 2011 budget, is in the template, and then there's the backup sheets. That's what I call them, you know, the cash flow and assumptions and payroll. Berthold felt that the payroll was the most significant part of that, and there were some questions that we went over because he had old information in there as far as, you know, who was you know, on our staff, you know, who's on our paid staff, and whether they were full time or part time or whatever. So to the best that I could, I helped him understand, you know, who was there and what their positions were, and the fact that everyone is having their hours reduced basically in half of whatever it was. What I didn't have was the absolute detail, and that Berthold needed to get from Robert West, and he was supposed to do that this morning, but I don't know what happened with that, if that got done or not. However, Berthold and I did go over the numbers. And he felt that we had identified, based on just what we knew as far as the reduction in hours for the employees, the paid employees that are affected, and he had some incorrect numbers that he was going to fix as far as the cost of, I think it was the health benefits. He had a number that was way too high, and he thought that it should have been lower. Anyway, we basically felt that the budget was correct, you know, as presented to the NFC. And that's the budget we're talking about that we ended up with, you know, just the $168 surplus. That's all we got. So that's how bare bones we are. But so I would hope, though I realize I didn't get a supplemental copy of the budget with corrections that Berthold was making in it. I didn't get anything from him today, so I don't know if anyone else did. But I would hope that we'd be able to approve our budget. Though I would understand, since we don't have anything right in front of us, that if that also needed to be postponed for that reason.
Can I ask a question?
Well, let me say first, yeah, we don't have anything in front of us. The whole deal was getting the template in there. So, yeah, I don't see how we could vote on the thing tonight myself. But, yes, Kim.
We're talking about WPFW, correct?
Right.
What?
So what does Berthold have to do with WPFW?
This is Laverne. I can say that Berthold is in his many responsibilities. He helped us with the budget when he was working, assisted me when I was there in New York, and he helped us in terms of correcting the template in order for us to consolidate the budget. So he basically did the budget along with me last year, and then also we worked the PFW budget. And if that transmitter hadn't gone down, it would have been okay. But so that's what Berthold is doing. I'm telling you, we are all, like I said, I know Berthold is working 24/7, and
wow,
we're all like working like all kinds of, doing all kinds of extra stuff. So Berthold is doing the budget. He's consolidating, working, and putting the budget, the PFW budget, on the template, because that's what he did last year and helped to pull it together for PFW, and he's still working with it.
Yeah, Kim.
Thank you.
Sure. Kim, the thing I should explain that this is only the second year, as I understand it, that this particular template is being used. And I'll admit, at our station, we are not versatile with using it. And our person he's both our business manager and our interim general manager right now, and that sort of fell on his shoulders along the way. He just had some issues when he was trying to plug numbers in, and we needed some assistance. And Berthold is more of an expert on this, so he's been helpful in stepping in to help us actually get our numbers into the template that Pacifica uses.
Why isn't there anybody in D.C. who can do this?
Well, that's our problem. We didn't, and it's still new to us. There's, to my understanding, there was never, not enough training in it, and
right.
We don't have anyone here who understood the tempo well enough to be able to just take that on.
But somebody's getting paid to do this? Somebody's getting paid to do this in D.C.?
No.
No, no. Berthold is doing it in New York. He's not getting paid.
No, I understand that. But there is no one in D.C. or there's someone in D.C. that he just doesn't know how to do this?
It would be fun.
The sequence of things is that we, between our business manager and our finance committee, we put together the budget. We got the budget basically done. We were to the point where the next step would have been for our business manager to get everything into the correct template. Okay, right around that time, our interim general manager at that time was terminated. And
I see.
Our business manager suddenly overnight, he didn't ask for it, became our interim general manager. There's a whole bunch of stuff suddenly on his shoulders. Plus, there were some personal issues at home. His father had a couple of strokes and stuff, and so it was hard. He had, all of a sudden, had a whole bunch of stuff fall on him. And
I understand now.
So anyway, that's what. And Berthold's been real helpful with this. The only thing is for him, because he's in New York, there's some information that he needed to be able to coordinate with us.
Right.
That's what we're trying to get done. And I think we're pretty much there. Berthold felt pretty good about it after we talked about it last night. and went over some figures. But I do realize, I mean, we have a copy of the template for the, you know, the main budget, the, you know, the part, you know, the one, the whatever you would call that, you know, the actual budget itself. But the other parts that go with it, the tabs with the other things, I don't believe are all completely updated yet, unless Berthold's gotten that finished now. But that's what we were going over yesterday. But I haven't received anything, so I don't know. So I don't have anything, or he didn't have anything to pass along to everyone else on the committee. And I understand that, and I think hopefully that's the only thing between us and getting our budget approved now.
Okay, so I would suggest then we'll take this up next meeting.
Yes, that's right.
All right.
And I hope this time it really will be. We're getting there little by little, but that's what I would hope is that next time.
All right, this is our final item on the public agenda. So I'm going to make a motion that we adjourn to the executive session. Does everybody have the phone number for the executive session?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion, and we'll go to the executive
session. The other thing, may I add, I'd like John Almala to be on the executive session so he can talk about the about Empire State.
Is there any objection to John being on the executive session? Seeing none, John can come on to the executive session.
He's the one who's transmitting whatever the call. Okay, thank you.
So I move to adjourn to executive session. Is there any objection? None. We're moving to the executive session.
Okay.